Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 5, the Word of God says, "Therefore, judge nothing before its time, until the Lord come, who both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God." Judge nothing before its time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transformed to myself, and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For whom makes you different from another? And what do you have that you have not received? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? What do you have that you did not receive? This is why you judge nothing before its time. Because there is nothing that you have that you did not receive. The word "what" is the interesting word here. It's "tai" in the original language, as who, which, or what. Who have you, what have you, or which thing, which circumstance, what, like which event in your life, which prayer, which hope, which goal have you not received that you possess? And what exactly is it that you think you may gain without receiving from God? There is no such thing. What have you that you have not received? How many people in Christianity look for a provision, look for something they hope for? Young people sometimes look for a relationship, look for the things that they feel like they would satisfy their lives, without the realization of that they have nothing that they have not received. Don't you realize, Paul is saying, that you are no different than anyone else? That all things that you have are things that you have received, and you have absolutely not one thing that was not given to you from God. This is what Luke chapter 6 is talking about, when it says the tree is known by its fruit. What have you received, and what kind of a tree was it that you have and that has been given to you? Is it a tree of life? Is it a tree that produces godly fruit? Or is it a tree that produces corruption in your life? Is it a tree that brings you to the Savior or leads you away from Him? Because you are receiving from some form of a tree. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Just in the same way, a corrupt man cannot bear good fruit, and a good man cannot bear corrupt fruit. What are you receiving from? Are you receiving from the corruption of the flesh? Or are you receiving from the Spirit of God? The fruit will tell you where it's coming from. I cannot blame anybody for my receiving. I only receive from God, or I receive from my flesh. Do you understand what that means? That if my tree is good, then my fruit will be good also. As a believer, I don't try to analyze my life. I look at my fruit. As a believer, if I try to analyze my life, I will notice all the things that are wrong in it. Because I am a human being with an old sin nature. But when I realize the fruit of my life, what is the fruit of my life? When I realize the fruit of my life, then I will know what sort of a tree I possess. Is the fruit of my life corrupt? Is the fruit of my life the things that separate from God? Is the fruit of my life the fruit of the flesh? Strife and bitterness and envyings and malice. Fornication and adultery. Is that the fruit of my life? Is the fruit of my life that which would contaminate other believers against God or other people against God? Is that the fruit of my life? Then I will know my fruit. But on the other hand, is the fruit of my life a desire for my Savior? Is the fruit of my life a hunger for His Word? Is the fruit of my life a love for the things of God? Is the fruit of my life a conviction about godliness? Is the fruit of my life a soul won to the Savior? Is the fruit of my life people being built up, including myself, in Christ? And it's a good tree because I have received from a good God. What tree am I receiving from? What tree am I receiving from? The Word of God says a good tree. It doesn't say a perfect one. Why? Because there is no perfect tree. There is no perfect tree. But there is good fruit and there is bad fruit. And that fruit will indicate to you the fruit of your life. The tree that you possess. You receive that tree. You either receive it as the tree of life, or you receive it as the tree of knowledge. But you receive that tree from God. Or you receive that tree from the enemy. But you receive that tree. And then you can tell what tree you have received by the fruit that it produces. You can tell a church by the fruit that it produces. Is the fruit of a ministry, the fruit of a pastor's life and the leadership in that church, is the fruit of that ministry itself and the things that it does, is it of God or is it of man? Pastor Schaller said something interesting at the rap the other day. When people were attacking him, he did not answer their attacks. He said, is the fruit of God or is it of man? Just like Jesus asked about John the Baptist, was he of God or was he of man? And the Pharisees could not answer. Because if they answered of God, then they would know that they lived in disobedience. If they answered of man, they knew they were wrong. So they could not answer. Is it of God or is it of man? Where does your fruit come from? Is it of God or is it of man? Is the church's fruit of God or is it of man? Are people getting saved? Are people being discipled? Are people's lives being transformed? Are people being sent to Bible college? Are souls getting won because there's a program and a plan to win the lost? Is the Word of God going forward? Is the Bible being preached? Is there opinion or is it the Word of God? Or is it a trip? Is it condemnation? I'm not saying that individuals cannot get condemned. That's the fruit of their flesh. But does the pulpit preach condemnation? Does the pulpit preach that God has no purpose and no plan? Does the pulpit preach that there is nothing for you from God? Or does the pulpit preach that there are things for you that God has prepared from the foundation of the world and His plan is to bring you into those things to give you the fullness of joy that your joy might be full? What fruit have you received and what is the tree that you have been receiving from? You have nothing that you have not received. As a believer, I can look at the circumstances of my life and say they are good or they are difficult. But this is not the question that I should even be asking. The real question is, where did the circumstances come from? I cannot ask as I look at something, is it good or is it difficult? Why? Because I don't know. And there is nothing in me to tell me where it is from except what it says in the Word of God. That can tell me where it is from. I remember my friend Louis, who was a paraplegic. Some of you know this story. There was a paraplegic, had a motorcycle accident where he broke his neck, severed his spine there, portion of his spinal cord there. He could not walk, he could not move his arms, he could not talk well. Was that bad? Or was it good? And I think most people would say it was very bad. It was a devastating thing that happened to a man in his 20s. But I asked Louis one time, would you have gotten saved if you weren't in a wheelchair? And he laughed at me and he said, no way. Was it good or was it bad? Did God know exactly the circumstances that were needed to bring him to the Savior? Does God know exactly the circumstances that are needed to break you so that the treasure will finally come out? Does God know exactly what it'll take to reveal Himself in your life? Was it good or was it bad? Don't judge anything before its time. Because God will reveal the hidden things. And we have no way to know. What does my Bible say? All things are from God. And all things are for my sake. Was it good or was it bad? Really, it depends on where I am looking. If I'm looking to myself for the answers, then my emotions will respond to my circumstances and will dictate to my mind and rule my soul. And I will become enslaved to them. But I look to the Word of God. I look to God for my answers. And the tree of life rules my mind and brings life to my soul. Was it good or was it bad? I don't know. What fruit are you manifesting in your life? Was it good or was it bad? Was it a corrupt tree or a good tree? I don't know. What is your fruit? You will know the tree by its fruit. If it's good fruit, the tree cannot be corrupt. If it's evil fruit, the tree cannot be good. What is the fruit in your life? That will tell you what you've been receiving. No man can serve two masters. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. How often does a believer say, I want the good things of life. I will pursue that which in my thinking is the thing to pursue. Don't you know that your heart is sick and your head is faint? Don't you know that you don't have anything to evaluate by? Don't you know that there is no good thing in you? Only the fruit that God produces. What do you evaluate by? What do you set your desires and your goals by? Is it that you desire the things of God? Is it that you desire the things that God puts into your heart? Or is it that you desire the things that you evaluate in natural thinking and sight as things to be desired? You see, whichever one of those it is the thing that you will serve. But you cannot serve both. You cannot serve the natural mind. You cannot serve mammon. You cannot serve relationships. You cannot serve circumstances. You cannot serve people and serve God at the same time. Pastor Stevens was once asked, how do you manage to serve so many people at the same time? And he said, I don't. The only one that I serve is my Savior. When you have fruit from the Savior, when you are receiving from Him, then your fruit spills out to other people. Likewise, when you are eating the fruit of the wrong tree, when you are receiving from the enemy, and that is the source of your fruit at the tree of knowledge, your fruit will spill out unto other people. And your fruit will reveal what tree you are eating at. In my private meditations, if I eat from negativity, my fruit will be the fruit of negativity. However, if I eat of the Spirit in my private meditations, where I meditate on God's faithfulness and God's character and God's love toward me, when I meditate on the things of God, when I meditate on His promises and His goodness, when I meditate on His Word and I look into the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, give me something, and the passage is illuminated to my heart, because He does give me something every time that I ask. When I meditate on these things in Philippians 4:8, then I will have the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Then I will have love, joy, and peace, and patience, and temperance, and meekness, and goodness. What is the fruit? It is what you have been receiving. What did you receive from? What did you receive from? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and the things of the world. You cannot serve both God and the things of the flesh. You cannot serve both God and your emotions. You cannot serve both God and the things that you desire that are worldly things apart from God's plan for your life, even though they may seem good. What tree are you eating from? Seek the right tree. Because you don't have anything that you have not received. But this is a very good place. Because if I have nothing that I have not received, and if I can do nothing of myself apart from the vine, in John chapter 15, but if I can do all things through Christ who gives to me in His strengthening, then I'm in a very good place. Because that means that no matter what I need, God will supply all my needs. No matter what happens, God in Ephesians 3:20 will go beyond my wildest hopes and dreams, all that I can ask or think. No matter what happens in my life, God will take care of me and He will be faithful to me. And even if I am not faithful, God will abide faithful. Even if I do not believe, God will abide faithful. Even if I fail, I will simply fall into His arms. And in Romans 14:4, He'll pick me right back up again and He will cause me to stand. So the fact that I have nothing of myself, the fact that I can only eat of a tree that God gives to me, is a very good place to be. It means that when I sin, I am forgiven. It means that when I do something and I do not know my way, that the steps of the just man are ordered by the Lord and not by the just man. It means that God will protect me and He will provide for me. It means that God will work His perfect will in my life, and I cannot thwart it in the end, and neither can anyone else. The only way, the absolute only way I can lose with God is quit. But if I will not quit, then I will not lose. How many times did Moses perhaps feel like quitting? How many times perhaps David did he feel like quitting? David got into some very deep depression. How many times do we as believers feel like quitting? But we simply do not quit because we know that life with the Lord is better than a life without Him. I don't quit and I can't lose. Do you understand this principle? Take this, write it on your heart, burn it into your memory, into your frame of reference. If I don't quit, I can't lose. The only way to lose is quit. The only way to lose is quit. I cannot lose because of failure. I cannot lose because of weakness. I cannot lose because of inability. I cannot lose because of other people. I cannot lose because of circumstances. I cannot lose because of money. I cannot lose because of anything. The only way to lose is quit. Because my God shall supply all my needs if I don't quit. He'll take care of me if I don't quit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink the milk of the flock? Who does not enjoy the fruit that is produced in his own life? And even when the trials come, I eat of my own fruit. Even when circumstances are negative or questions are in my mind, I look at my fruit and I am encouraged. If it is good fruit, I am encouraged. And if it is bad fruit, I can be corrected so that I can make a grace adjustment in my life and start receiving from the tree of life. God does not expect a person to enter into a calling, into a plan, to enter into anything in their life without providing for their expense, for their costs, without giving them the provision of grace and the provision in the temporal realm that they need to enter into all He has for them. Who fights a war at his own expense? Can you imagine the United States military recruiting a soldier and then say, okay, you need to buy your gun, you need to buy your uniform, you need to buy your ammunition, you need to buy your hand grenades, you need to buy your tank, you need to buy your bombs, you need to buy your airplane, you need to buy everything. Wouldn't that be insane? Likewise, God will not take you to a place where He will not provide for you. God will not take you to a place where He will not take care of you. God will not take you to the place where He will not bring you the provisions that you need. But your provisions that you need will come in faith response to Him. God will take care of you in all that you do when you seek first His kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6, and verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Take no thought, saying, what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? And what is it that's going to sustain me or provide for me? How many young people, and this group is very good this way because you guys have responded beautifully in faith, but how many young people do you know of who will say something, I cannot, let's say, go to Bible college because I don't have the money to do it? Well, you know, if you take that step of faith, God will provide the money for you to do it. Did you know that the Red Sea did not part until the step of faith was taken, until it was touched by the rod? The Jordan did not part until their ankles were wet. God will not provide for you apart from taking the step of faith. But when you take a step of faith, all your provisions will be in place at exactly the time they are needed. He will never be late, not with one. The grace will be present in your heart to sustain you in a faith walk with God. But it will not be present in your heart if you will not touch the Jordan. The money that you need will be present to get you to where you need to be. Let's say if it's a Bible college calling. The money will be present to pay for Bible college at the right time if you take the step of faith to go there. Why would God provide for you the things you do not need when He said, I will provide for you the things you need? He did not say, I will provide for you the things you do not need. So I have a need in my life because I have taken a step of faith, and now it is given to me from above. However, without that step of faith, there is a greater need in my life. Without that step of faith, I have no peace. I have no joy. Without that step of faith, I have no tranquility in my soul. Without that step of faith, I have no provision from God. Because God will give me in His perfect plan, not outside of it. If I am outside of God's perfect plan, God will initiate a series of events in my life to return me into His perfect plan. Because at that point, that is my need. Don't look to God and say, I will respond in faith until my need has been, when my need has been met. God said, your need is met where you are. Go into faith and I will provide the next need that you have when the need is there. We believers are funny that way. We want it all on the table before we believe. God's not going to put it on the table for you before you believe. God's going to say, trust me, take a step of faith, and then you will find your provisions. The army will not give a rifle to someone who is not a soldier. It will not give a rifle to a civilian. Can you imagine somebody's at the recruiting office, okay, give me my rifle, my hand grenades, give me my bullets and my airplane and my bombs, and then I will join the military. You think the military is going to do that? The recruiter is going to look at the guy and say, you're crazy. Likewise, God will give me my needs when they arise, but not beforehand. And wherewithal shall we be clothed? Do not ask this thought. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The unbelievers seek these things. The unbelievers say, where is my house and where is my cash and where is my car? The unbelievers say, where is my husband or my wife? Where are my children? The unbeliever says, where is the provision? Where is my job? The unbeliever says, I'm not going to do this until I have everything just in place. But God knows that you're going to need these things. God knows exactly what you need. If you don't have it, you don't need it. When you need it, you will have it. And to say I have a need that I have that has not been provided for by God is deception. Because it is contrary to what God has said. If I don't have it, I don't need it. If I need it, God will give it. Hey, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe His character? Do you believe the things that God has said? Do you believe? Do you believe that He is merciful and He loves you and He will be kind to you? Do you believe? Do you believe that He'll take care of you? Do you believe that all things really are for your sake? Do you believe? Why is my soul in so much turmoil? Because you have not mixed faith. Do you believe? Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So don't seek them. He'll give them to you when the time is right. Don't judge things before their time. God will give them to you when the time is right. And in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God for His and His righteousness. Get this, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. A lot of times you say, seek first the kingdom of God, but we forgot about the righteousness part. What is the righteousness of God? The finished work of Christ is the righteousness of God. Seek first His kingdom and the finished work. Seek first His... What is the kingdom of God? Grace is the kingdom of God. Seek grace and the finished work. Respond in grace and the finished work. Trust grace and the finished work for your life. And all these things shall be added unto you. Not some of them, all of them will be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't worry about what will happen tomorrow. Don't worry about how God will provide your provision to be in Bible college. Don't worry about what's going to happen for your family or for your children. Don't worry about how your relationships will take place when you trust God and you don't date. God will take care of tomorrow. If you don't have it today, you don't need it today. If you need it tomorrow, you'll have it tomorrow. But don't worry about tomorrow. Let God take care of tomorrow. You live before Him and respond to Him in faith today. And He'll take care of your tomorrow. Didn't He say, fear not, little flock? For it is His good pleasure, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Didn't He say that? It's His pleasure to give to you. In Philippians 4:19, He'll supply those needs according to His riches in glory. He'll supply them according to His wealth and not your ability. He'll supply them according to His provisions and not yours. He'll supply what you need according to His ability on your behalf and not your ability on your own behalf. His ability is far greater than yours. And He'll supply your need according to what He is able, not according to what you are. He'll go above all you can ask or think. He's not stingy. God is generous. How many people have a stingy God in their mind? You don't know who He is. He is generous. He says He opens the windows of blessings and He pours them out on you. He is generous. When God gives, He does not give in short order. Oh, He'll wait till the right time. And He will not give it to you before the right time. But He will not give it to you in short order either. So if it is today that you do not have cash for Bible college, because you don't need cash for Bible college today. But if it is time later on, and Bible college is just an example. But if it is time later on that you have that need, then it will be there. One of my favorite stories is about a pastor in our church. They had a church building and they had a school and it was mortgaged and they had no money. And they were owed tuition because people had not paid their tuition on time and they were about to lose their church building to the bank because the mortgage was due and it wasn't in their bank account. And so he says to his assistant pastor, the assistant pastor says, Pastor, what are we going to do? We have need of this money and it's not there. And the pastor says, let's go fishing. Isn't that like impractical? Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that like stupid? Isn't that irresponsible? You go fishing, you're going to lose your building. They say, let's go fishing. Because if it is of God, God will take care of it and He will provide. And if it is not of God, it's going to fizzle and go away anyway. Let's go fishing. The mortgage was due at 4:30. The pastor got back to his office at 4 with a check for exactly the amount that he needed on his desk. Why? My God shall supply all my needs. They don't war at their own expense. They just trust God and take a step of faith. Not looking at sight, not looking at natural reasoning, not looking at natural ability, not looking at their provisions and their bank account and what they can do in themselves. They just trust God and take a step of faith. What if I trust God and take a step of faith in the wrong place? Where will I enter then? Well, in Deuteronomy 33, it says you're going to enter into His hands. Don't you realize there is no such thing as a bad step of faith when the Holy Spirit initiates it to your heart? And you trust Him because of who He is? No. You just believe. You just believe. And He'll supply all your needs. And He'll take care of it for you. And Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. Careful. Marinate. It's the perfect active imperative, anxious and to be troubled. Perfect continuous action, active subject produces the action of the verb, imperative mood, dogmatic command. He says, this is something I'm commanding you. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't produce the continuous action of anxiety in your life. Don't produce the continuous action of fretting in your life. Don't produce the continuous action of nervousness in your life. Don't produce the continuous action of fear in your life. Don't produce the continuous action of doubt in your life. Don't produce the continuous action of not trusting God's faithfulness toward you and His character in your life. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. By everything, pray. Prayer. Prayer for things and people. Supplication. Prayer for myself. By everything, by prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Do you know that a lot of anxiety and a lot of nervousness, a lot of fretting and a lot of worry and a lot of emotional distress comes because people are not living in thanksgiving, in thankfulness to God? When I don't live in thankfulness to God, I forget the old landmarks. I forget the times that God has been faithful to me. I forget the times that God has taken care of me. I forget the times that God has come through for me in the difficult circumstances and provided for me exactly the things that I needed. When I don't live in thankfulness, I frequently enter into sin. I stop keeping my eyes on God and I put my eyes on the thing that I believe that I need, which is just deception. No, prayer and supplication to my Father with thankfulness in my heart. And even thank Him for the thing that you have asked Him for, knowing that you will receive your petition because you walk in the light. Knowing that He answers prayer. Knowing that He will give you only the good things and that He will withhold no good thing. And the peace of God, get this, You come to Him with prayer and supplication in thankfulness. And what's the result? The peace of God, which passeth all knowledge, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God keeps your heart and your mind because you came to Him in prayer and supplication with thankfulness. This is how I meet my needs. This is how I face my challenges. I don't judge anything before its time because I know that I have nothing that I have not received. And that all things that I need are going to be given to me by my Father, because that's His good pleasure. Amen.